It is so good to see each of you this morning. We're thankful that God has blessed us and brought us back to His house to where that we can worship Him. I want to say, Brother John, it's always good for you to be home. And I want you to know you're in everybody's prayers, but especially one person's prayers, I'm sure, on a daily basis. But it's so good for you to be here today. If you will, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 12. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence you came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year, even unto the end of the year. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer once again? Father God, we just bow before You, and we are so thankful for Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be in Your house once again this morning to worship You. We thank You, Father, that Your care for us is every single day, from beginning to end, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, from the beginning of our life to the end of our life. Here on this earth, You give to us our daily bread each and every day as we journey through this, as is often referred to, this low ground of sin and sorrow. We know, Lord, that You provide for us those things. And thank You, Lord, for this reminder, even as You provided for the children of Israel so many thousand years ago, that is a reminder to us today that You do not change. And as Your eye was upon them, watching them, Your eye is upon us also. And we need You, and we want You to continue to watch and protect, to guide and to direct us. Help us, Lord, to be mindful of Your love and compassion upon us, of Your presence in our lives. And help us, Lord, to make that a habit in our lives, to say thank You each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. It's in my mind that for the next several Sundays, I'm not sure how long it'll last, but I'm going to look at a series of thoughts concerning our being in Christ and what that means to us, what it has given to us, and what we have promised to us as a result of our being in Him, being placed in Him by God's grace and His mercy. So as we look at that, to kind of end this year and to begin 2014, it's so difficult to even fathom 2014. Seemed like it was just yesterday, it was 1978, and now it's 2014. But as we think about that and think about how God watches over and protects us and keeps us, and as we look at this particular passage of Scripture, to realize that God has prepared, and I'll say this again, as He's taken them into the promised land, the land of Canaan, is not a picture of heaven itself. For once they got into Canaan, they still had battles, they still had struggles. It's described as a land of hills and valleys, and I'll speak to that in just a few moments. But it is typifying our life here on earth and what it can be in Christ Jesus, the peace that is ours. And that's what I want us to see this morning, the peace that is ours in Christ Jesus, as we look at this particular passage. Now, Deuteronomy is kind of a review of things that have taken place in the last 40 years for the people of Israel. Moses, as they are about to enter in, cross over the River Jordan, to go into the promised land of Canaan that had been promised to them for some 400 years before that. They're right there. They're on the verge of it. They're getting ready to cross over into that land. And Moses, it's as he stops them and he says, Now, I've got some things I want to share with you. I want some to remind you of some things. I want to go over some things. It's like the teacher's reviewing for the final exam. You have a time of review, a time of renewing, and going back over the things that you've learned. And Moses said, I want to spend some time with you now reviewing those things, because now the people of Israel are having to, and they've been working into an order of where that their attitude, their outlook, their approach to life even has changed and is being changed and going to be changed as they are entering into this land. In verse 10, he talks about how that this land that you go going into, it's not like where you came from. It's not a place where that you can compare. It's like comparing apples and oranges. You can't do it. You can't compare Egypt to Canaan, because there's such a vast contrast between the two places. And so it is with our lives when we approach life from the natural viewpoint of it, trying to examine life through our mental capacities. You know, there's some things you just can't figure out. There's some things you just can't come to a conclusion on. There's some things in life that you just can't find a reason for them. But if we're trying to struggle and trying to find it through our mental capacities, we come to a brick wall that we just can't go any farther. That's where that we have to change our outlook. We have to change our approach even to life itself, and approach it from the spiritual realm, from the realm that tells us that God's in control, the realm that tells us that God does all things perfectly, the realm of life that tells us that He has all power in heaven, He has all power in earth, that everything that we have, everything that we do, all of our being, everything about us that is good comes from God. And when we can change our approach and our outlook and attitude to see that this is not our spiritual life, though we're in the world, our spiritual life is so much higher and so much better than trying to approach it from the natural realm of life. And so Moses is saying that land that you came from, you had to work hard back there. And I'm not promoting a sit down and do nothing type approach now, but he's just saying the things that you had to do back there in Egypt, they weren't for your good. They weren't for your honor. They weren't for your benefit. Everything that you did back then was for Pharaoh. They had, if you remember the story before that they came out, how that Pharaoh began to just burden them down more by saying, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Then finally, it came to the point that they were complaining about the workload that was upon them. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. Not only will you have to make the brick, now you're going to have to go out and get the mud and get the straw and everything else yourself and collect it all and then make the brick. He began to weigh them down more and more and more. And if you've ever been at a point in your life where that you feel like that you just can't continue on, and you try to reason things out, you try to examine things, you try to come to a conclusion on your own, you realize that it just begins to weigh you down more and more and more, because, as I said before, there are some things that we just cannot reason out. But Moses is saying to them, where you're going, it's not like it was back there. Now, in verse 11, he goes on to say, the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys. That tells me that they're still going to have some struggles. Now, I'm going to tell on myself, because last year I made a resolution. And I, in making that resolution, I went to Walmart and I bought a bicycle. And that bicycle has about a mile and a half on it right now. I messed up. I didn't get one with gears. I thought I could handle the old-fashioned kind. So I got out and I rode it. And all of you are familiar with Palomino Ridge. That's about as flat as you can get, isn't it? No, it's not. It's all right going, but you got to turn around and come back. And on that bicycle, I was just bebopping down through there. And I got to a particular place and I said, okay, it's time to go home. And I turned around and what I thought was a flat place was a hill like this. It was at least a 45 degree angle, or so it seemed. And I was hoping nobody was watching me, because I tried to stand up and pedal like we did as kids. It don't work no more. There is no stand up and pedal for old Steve anymore. The legs are gone. So I sat down and I pedaled. And my chest began to pound. I couldn't breathe. And I thought, this is not going to work. So I got off and I walked. I did bring the bicycle back. I thought about laying it down and leaving it, but I did bring it back. And I got on, it got to a flat place. I said, I can handle it now. And I began to ride. And I made it about 50 yards. And I said, I can't do this no more. And I pushed it so I got to the top of the hill there, Brother Doug and Sister Carlene. And I coasted the rest of the way. And I got up enough speed that I could coast right up the driveway and into the garage. And there she sits. Land of Hills and Valleys tells us that there are struggles. There are times when we're going downhill and we're coasting and we think we got it made. But then there's places that it begins to go back uphill. And God was saying to them, now this place that you're going, it's not going to be a place that you can just sit back and do nothing. And so it is in the kingdom of heaven. It isn't a place that we just sit back and relax and do nothing. There is much work for us to do as God's children. There are many things for us to do that we must be busy about our Father's business, our Heavenly Father's business. So Moses is warning them, it is a land of hills and valleys, but here's the good news, he said. Because when you get into that land of hills and valleys, remember, and sometimes it's good to think back. Sometimes you don't want to dwell on it, but sometimes it's good to think back. He said, remember when you were in Egypt? Remember how flat that land was? I think it kind of reminds me of... Make sure nobody. I'm sorry, Sister Carol and Brother Randy. It kind of reminds me of Illinois and how flat it is. But it says, remember when you were there and the river was flowing through it and you had to dig canals? And when you dug those canals, then the water, the irrigation water would come through there and it would water the land. Or if the river would flood, which it often did, the Jordan River would flood. In fact, you remember it was at flood stage when they crossed it. But as it would flood and it would put the water out into the land, it was good for a while, but then after about a week or two and that hot sun beating down on that water just sitting there, have you ever walked by a mud puddle that's been there for about a week or 2 weeks with hot sun and it's got the skim over the top of it? Would you even think, I know, me too. Would you even think about drinking it? I can't even stand the smell of it sometimes when it becomes stagnant. And so Moses is saying to them, this land that you're going to, you're not going to have to dig those irrigation canals. You're not going to have to stay in your house because you can't stand the stench of it after a while. It's a land that is fresh. It's a land that's revived. It's a land that's renewed. It's a land where that you can enjoy not your labors, but enjoy the labors of God. Because this land, which is a land of hills and valleys, it's also a land that is watered by rain from heaven. Rain from heaven. Do you remember the smell in that springtime rain? You could smell it before it gets there. It's so clean and so fresh. You just want to sit out on the porch and listen to it hit on the covering of the patio or on your porch or on the roof. You want to just hear it. You want to smell it as it's coming in. Moses is saying, that's what God has prepared for you. That's what He has prepared for you. And you're getting ready to go. You're getting ready to go into that land that you're still going to struggle, but it's a land that's going to be filled with the blessings, absolute blessings of God. Verse 12, which is our text for today, says, it's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. I love it when it talks about God caring for us. I love the scriptures that speak to us of God's compassion and His mercy, His love, His unmerited love that He's bestowed upon us. It's a land which the Lord thy God careth for. It's a land that the eyes of the Lord is constantly. They're constantly watching and looking and seeing and providing and making sure that everything is taken care of, everything is in its place. It's a land where that you can just lean upon the Lord and trust Him and to know that He's going to see you through. It says, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. From the beginning of 2013 until Tuesday night at 11:59:59. God's eyes are upon us. God's eyes are looking down upon us. God's eyes are the same today as they were 11 3/4 months ago. God hasn't changed. God provides. God has provided. He is providing and He will provide. God will provide. There was a time later in the history of Israel when Asa was king of Israel. And Asa was a man that helped turn things around for Israel. He helped restore the true worship of God. He took away idols. He took away those places where people would go and hide and worship their idols there. He took all that out of the way. But at some point in his kingship, he's like a lot of us. He forgot God. And there was nations that came up against Israel, or against Judah. He was king of it. There was two nations that came up, and God gave them a victory. God gave them a victory like never before, in defeating those armies that came up against them. And then after that, there was another enemy that came up, and Asa said, "You know, we handled them others okay. Isn't that typical of the way that our mind works?" I think I've shared this here before. If not, I will now. If I have, I'll share it again. But I remember in 1991 when we went into Iraq. We were living in Tifton, Georgia at the time, and I remember specifically every storefront, every sign in front of businesses had these words: "Pray for our troops. Pray for our men and women." There was no being ashamed of it. There was no timidity about it. Everyone was bold in saying, "We need God's help." And if you remember that, 3 days later, it was over. This last time, I'm going back, 10 years ago now. This last time, I didn't see that. I didn't hear that. What I heard was, "Well, we have the technology. We have the ability. We have the numbers. Everything's on our side. We can do this. Let's go get them." And I don't know if we'll ever get them, to be quite honest. The difference to me was, we forgot God. So it was in the days of Asa. God gave them a deliverance. And then when the next one came up, Asa said, "We handled that last one. We can do this one too." And God sent a prophet to Asa and saying, you better stop and think about this. And Asa threw him in jail because he dared to disagree with him. But in that passage, that prophet reminded Asa, the eyes of the Lord are watching over. The eyes of the Lord are looking over you. The eyes of the Lord, He's showing Himself strong on your behalf. He will help you through this if you'll just depend upon Him. And it's like Asa said, we can handle it. Moses is warning the people and how soon they forgot. But Moses is warning the people, don't forget God. Lean upon Him. Trust Him. Depend upon Him. He'll never let you down. May not work things out the way that you always want it to be, but God does things perfectly. And He does it because not only did He care for the land, but more importantly than that, He cares for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you." I love that verse of Scripture. It doesn't mean cast the big things on Him and try to deal with the little things yourself. It doesn't mean try to work your way through or see your way through. Don't try to tunnel through. Don't try to dig irrigation ditches that'll water what you think needs to be watered. Lean upon the Lord. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And that verb care, I never was an English major and I'm still not now. But I know that word is an ongoing procedure. It is not something that is like a yo-yo out and back, up and down, wavering back and forth, strong one minute. And it is a constant. God cares for you. January 1st, 2013, we could say back then, God cares for me. December the 29th, I believe it is, we can say, God cares for me. For every one of us, things have changed in 2013. For every one of us, things have taken place. But one thing is constant through that. God cares for you. That doesn't change. He doesn't waver. He doesn't love you less today than He did 6 months ago or a year ago or 10 years ago. Can you remember a time in your life when you felt so close to the Lord and you knew without a shadow of a doubt, God loves me. We could sing that song with absolute assurance. Jesus loves me, this I know. And then do you also remember a time when maybe you couldn't sing that song with quite that confidence? Well, listen, the wavering wasn't with God. He cares for you. It's constant. It's true. It's unchanging. God cares for you. Cast all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That word, it says He careth for you, it literally means that whatever is going on in your life, it matters to Him. Whatever is happening in your life, it matters to God. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us about our great high priest, Jesus Christ. It says that He's touched with the feelings of things that touch us. He's touched by those things that concerns us. He has care and compassion. And that word care, it doesn't just mean it cares about, but He cares for, and He extends that care to you. And it's because of His mercy and His grace and compassion. There's two instances in the New Testament where that Jesus literally shows His compassion. More instances than that, but two that I really love them. One is a time a man with leprosy, a man that had been shunned by everyone for years, a man that nobody would even speak to him. It was the law. You just stay away from him. He's got leprosy. A man that had to wear a mask over his face. A man that if anyone came close to him, he was required by law to shout out, "Unclean! Unclean!" Sounding warning that people would back away from him. But one day as he was walking down the streets, he'd seen everybody go to the other side. He looked up and he saw Jesus. And he went running to Jesus. He bowed down before him. And he said, "Master, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will." And that's a miracle in itself. Everything about the man was restored. And from what I understand about leprosy of that day, it was a very disfiguring disease. It was a disease, I don't want to get too graphic about it, but digits of the hand would fall off. Skin would fall away. It was very painful. It was just a terrible disease. Jesus said, "I will. I'll make you clean." And that's wonderful. But the next part is what I love. It said Jesus moved with compassion, reached out and touched him. Compassion begins from inside. Literally, and I looked up the meaning of it this morning because I wanted to be sure about this. But the meaning of it is it starts in the bowels. And that's not the bowels as we know it, but the very inner being of your soul. The very inner being of who you are Compassion begins there, and it begins to grow. And as it begins to grow, it begins an outward movement. Compassion is the inward desire, the inward care, the inward love that is moved to be shown openly. Jesus was moved with compassion, and He reached out and He touched that man. Another instance, when thousands of people came and they were hungry, His disciples said, send them away, let them go find something to eat. But I read that Jesus was moved with compassion toward them. And He said, we'll feed them. The care of God is not such that He stands back and says, I know what you're going through and been there and done that. And this is how I got through it. No, the compassion of God is He sees us. His eyes are looking upon us. And His compassion moves us to come to where we are. And He meets us where we are. And His compassion then begins to enfold us. His compassion begins to draw us toward Him. He touches us. He sustains us. He grants all the things that we need. So as we think about in Deuteronomy, when they were going into that land, said that God's eyes are upon it and cares. Can I tell you this morning that God's eyes are moving. God's eyes are watching. God's eyes sees all things, knows all things, and God has the ability to be moved with compassion to you and to show Himself strong on your behalf. He cares for you. He'll provide for you the grace that is necessary for today. Yesterday's grace, we've used it up. Tomorrow's grace, we're not there yet. But just now, He gives grace for this moment to get us. So that one day at a time saying, it's not just a cliche. It's the absolute truth. His grace is sufficient for today. As my voice is going away now, I will say this. The faith that God has given to us, it does not eliminate questions. Understand that. Faith does not take away questions that we may have. But faith does let us know where to take those questions. Faith does let us know who not only has the answer, but He is the answer. And that answer is moved in compassion towards you. For you see, I start to say I don't know about you, but I think I do know about all of us. Human nature is human nature. There are times, and I know I'm not supposed to admit this, especially in here, but there are times that I can't pick this up and read it. Don't feel bad at me. But there's times. I know it's here. But there's times I can't pick it up and read it. There's times that I can't think about the greatness and the glory and the majesty of God. And I know it's true. And God forgive me, but there's times I can't pray. But faith tells me this. In those times, I still know I can trust Him. My actions toward Him may waver, but He never wavers toward me. And that's what gets us through each day. That's what gets us through from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. It's what gets us through from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And if you want to get right down to the brass tacks, it's what gets us from second one through second 60 of every minute. If I can trust God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, as the little song goes, so true. We are weak. We become weak in our walk. We become weak in our talk. We become weak in our outlook. We become weak in our expectations. And we ask you to forgive us for that. And we know that you do, for your word tells us that. But Father, we know we can trust you. Even when we don't understand, we can trust you. For you do all things well. And help us, Lord, to just be as the children of Israel as they prepared to go into the promised land, into that land of that flows with milk and honey, that they were given a fresh outlook, or a new outlook, a renewed outlook. Help us, Lord, as we are closing out 2013, if it's your will that I would see 2014. Lord, help me to have a fresh approach, a fresh outlook. My faith would be renewed. It'd be a fresh sense of vitality, not physical. Well, that's necessary also, but more importantly, the spiritual. Help me, Lord. Help us all. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So we stand and sing. Doors of the church are always open. If you have a desire to serve the Lord at this place called Goshen Primitive Baptist Church, we give you the opportunity as we sing number 218. Number 218.